Dear congregation, I think most of us are familiar with that painting of the broad and narrow road, and with the youth group, we are slowly working our way through it. And I think we all realize that that painting is based on the words of our text this morning. And the words of our text we can find in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. As we listen to these words of our text this morning, we soon realize that this is actually a searching text. It tells us that there are simply only two ways. Sometimes we imagine, perhaps, or are tempted to think, well, there might be three ways. There's the broad way, that's for the real sinners, and then there is this middle way in between for serious-minded people. And then there is, of course, the narrow way of those people that are really converted. But the Lord Jesus tells us, no, that's not the truth. There's only two ways. And that's our thought this morning. And that's what we are going to consider as our theme this morning. Only two ways. And we're first going to look at those different ways. We are contrasting them together. Then we look at some characters on the broad way, especially as we listen to the context and gain ideas also from the Sermon of the Mount. This is part of the Sermon of the Mount. So the characters on the broad way, and then the call that comes from this text to us. We are called to the narrow way. So as we contrast these ways, first and foremost, we see, first of all, there are two gates. We listen to the words of our text. It's striking that the Lord Jesus uses these sharp contrasts, and he often taught with sharp contrasts. There's this wide gate that's wide, and there's this narrow gate, this straight gate. There's this broad road, and there's this narrow way. And both are completely different from each other in that there is a completely different destination to each one of these. So let's look at the wide gate for a moment. What does the Lord Jesus say? Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Does that mean then that the Lord Jesus means that we can somehow choose on which road we are? No, that doesn't mean that, because we are all born in sin. And by nature, you and I, the sad thing about us is that we are all on the broad way. And we are impressed naturally by the things that happen on the broad or the wide, in the wide gate and on the broad road, the things that are happening in this world, the things that the devil suggests to us and tempts us to, and the flesh and the sins that so easily beset us. It's only when we are saved that we are brought by the power of the Holy Spirit to come to that narrow gate, and the Lord works that into our heart. But let's look at that wide gate for a moment. That gate is so broad, there is so much room that there is on the left side, there's worldly people that openly live in sin. But there's also plenty of room in that gate to enter through that gate for those who are serious-minded, respectable, religious people. They might come to the right side of the gate a little bit, closer to the narrow way, but they're still invited to the broad and the wide gate, and by this invitation of the broad gate. And the invitation comes to all in this world. There's, as it were, these advertisements. You can have all that you want to have in life, all you desire, when you enter here, this gate. Sadly, there's many who are attracted by these things. It's spacious, it gives room for what you want. It feels natural to go there, to enter into that wide gate, and nothing needs to change in our lives. Not that difficult, bitter medicine of repentance and faith. You can have all you want, and all your friends can come right along with you, all the activities and all the sins that you like. It's easy. It's easy. It's a wide gate. And if you compare it then and contrast it with this straight gate, this where the Lord Jesus calls us to enter in at the straight gate. Don't go to that wide gate, but that straight gate. This word straight means restricted, less than standard size, we could translate it, limited in size. It's like a narrow gorge. Sometimes maybe you have been hiking and you have this narrow gorge and you need to make your way in and you need to make yourself small. And the Lord Jesus says, enter in the straight gate, go there. Or the word enter can also mean strive to enter. So it means that it's not an easy matter. Why is it not easy to enter? Well, if we think about the gate, we could say, well, you need to learn to bow low. And by nature, you and I are all proud. We want to stand right up and be good. It's a straight gate because you need to be honest about your sin. You're my sin. And that's why so many people don't bother to even think about the straight gate. They dislike to be humbled and they love their sins. But in order to enter this gate, we need to come all by ourselves. It's a very personal matter to be saved. Yes, your friends are invited too, absolutely. But salvation is very personal. It's between God and us. And entering through that straight gate requires that our lives really change, really change. So there's the two gates. Then, of course, there are the two ways. There is that broad road again. It's spacious. Children, boys, girls, you can picture it. You have sometimes these super highways. There's the multiple lanes. And there's people speeding on the left. But yeah, there's also people on the right that maybe go slowly, take it, maybe keep to the speed limits. And you could say, no open outburst of immorality. They cautiously enjoy life. But without God, that's the thing on the broad way. It's without God. The narrow way, yes, let's look at it. The word narrow means that you have to press hard, squeeze and crush. It takes effort. It's more like if you can imagine a path up the mountain. Maybe you have hiked up mountains. It's challenging. It might be intensive. It's this narrow path. But the difference there is that God is with you. God, the God of heaven and earth, is with you throughout your journey. And that makes it worth it to go on this difficult road. Two gates, two ways, two destinations. There, let's look at the Broadway again. Looks like fun. It's not so restrictive. And then take a good look and follow the destination for a moment. Where is it heading? What do you see? Well, Jesus tells us. And broad is the way that leadeth where? To destruction. To ruin. To death, to damnation, to hell. Oh, this way might feel smooth and good, but notice where it's heading. It's as if the Lord Jesus is saying with these words, "Don't be deceived. Look at the destination for a moment. Let it sink in. A thousand times better is the way that leads, that narrow way that might be difficult, but that leads where? Jesus tells us to life, life eternal, true life, pure life, life with God, life for his glory, life in his presence, eternal life, life in the glory of heaven. That's where it leads. The narrow gate. Yes, the path may be hard and difficult, and some of you might be on the path and find it difficult. You might encounter bumps in the road, so to say. You might be tested and tried, and you might encounter hardships. No, it's not like the prosperity gospel that tells you, no, you're all okay, you will get rich, and life will be easy when you fear the Lord. No, that's not necessarily the case. You know, what makes this road narrow is that you and I, when we get to that road by the grace of God, that we have to now fight against ourselves, our sins. And that makes it hard. That makes it hard. And every believer that now walks on that road is called to follow Jesus. Take up your cross and follow me, the Savior. He tells us it's an easy yoke comparatively, a kind yoke, really, in the Greek. And just like the Savior, that road that he walked, we follow him. What happened here to him first? Suffering, then glory. And so it is for God's people. Maybe there is someone here this morning that say, my road seems to be hard, difficult. Every time I have trials and hardships and difficulties, and sometimes I just think, why do those who don't fear the Lord prosper, it seems? It all goes smooth. Do you remember Asaph, Psalm 73? He thought about that too, until the Lord made it plain in God's house. But believer, if you are on the road and yet you find it hard today, don't give up. What do you need to look at? You need to look at the eternity that is in view, the glory that awaits. The suffering of this present age is not compared to the glory that awaits us, Paul says. And the Lord Jesus says kindly to you, this is the way, walk ye in it. Through all the trials, through all the hardships, you know, he's with you. And through all those hardships, he shapes you. He shapes you and makes you more like himself so that he will become more precious to you. And so it's worth it. His road is heading for glory, eternal glory, endless glory, indescribable glory. Two gates, two ways, two destinations, and two levels of attraction. Let's look at the narrow way. How many people are attracted to this kind of life? Verse 14b, and few there are that find it. Few. Does that mean that there's going to be few people in heaven? No. The Bible tells us about an innumerable company you can't even count. So many people in heaven one day, but comparatively few. When you look at the other road, that's where so many people in the world go, and unless there are that which find it, you could translate it with. So to be a real Christian is not so popular, it's not so attractive to most people. It's the way of self-denial. To people, it doesn't look like fun. Fighting your own heart's desires, saying no to sin, that's not for me, some people say. But if you are on this road and you feel it's hard and distressing, then I want to say it again. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look to that cross. Look what he suffered. Look where he is now, the glory that he is in. Will you follow him? Will you follow close after the Savior? Will you not love him? Don't you long to be with him? forever. The one you love, the one you've that saved your soul. How about the broad road? How attractive is the broad road? And many there are which go in thereat. It's easy. Everything goes. Do what you want. You may be religious, you may be atheist, and everything in between. Whatever you think is fine. You can have your pleasure, your fun, your sin, everything. And it promises a lot, a wonderful life here. But it doesn't pay. And many people like that, but they don't realize that it doesn't pay. So dear congregation, boys, girls, young people, I think you feel the question coming, don't you? On which road are you? Which is more attractive to you? Which one do you want to walk in? Do you think the service of the Lord is glorious, is beautiful? The Lord Jesus is attractive to you. Have you come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the gate to the narrow way? Have you come to turn away from your sin? Have you seen the worthlessness of your sin and confessed your sin and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you entered in the narrow road? If you really look for a moment and you say, well, actually, sometimes I look at those people, I just want to be part of them rather. The broad road. There's many who go there. And you don't really consider, or you are too busy with all kinds of things. There are so many distractions these days that keeps luring you away. This new thing and that new thing and this app and that activity and so on and so forth. 1,000 distractions, and that's how Satan's keeps you from thinking not about these things seriously. But I want to say to you, stop for a moment this morning and think seriously. Where are you going? You know, there's lots of space on the broad road to follow just your own desires, your own lust, what I want. You can even be serious-minded, decent people, hardworking. That's all fine. But Satan says, don't go there. Don't go to that miserable life of the Christian. It's not a miserable life. It's joys that heaven gives to you that you didn't know existed. Joys in your heart. But Satan says to you, well, with me you can be yourself. And that road is too restrictive. And self-denial, that doesn't sound like fun. But the Lord says to you very honestly this morning, what if you would gain the whole world? The whole world is on at your feet, and that's what Satan promises you. What if you gain the whole world? You would have money like, I don't know how much, and you would have the whole world and bow before you, and you lose your own soul. You have lost everything. Everything. And so if you have this morning, if you hear this word and you have not entered yet, you're looking maybe with one eye to the world and you're, I say, stop, think, seek, cry out to God. And don't rest till you find that you are on that narrow road. Or maybe there is someone here this morning that says, well, when I look at my life, honestly, Pastor, I wonder sometimes if I'm still on the broad road. How can I know? Well, let's look at that secondly. Characters on the broad road. How do you know on which road you are? Well, the Sermon on the Mount gives plenty of evidence to examine our lives with to know whether we are truly blessed. Do you remember? The Sermon on the Mount starts with blessed. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who are... That doesn't sound very blessed. Happy, the Lord Jesus said. They are hunger after righteousness. Those who are merciful, those who are pure of heart, those who are peacemakers, those who are persecuted, even persecuted for Christ's sake. Lord Jesus said, well, those are blessed. And those are on the narrow road. What about the broad road? Well, the Lord Jesus is actually, in this sermon, he is searching the hearts. There were people, those people that were thinking, they were heading straight for eternal life. And the Lord Jesus says, no, actually, think about it a little better. He says, except your righteousness shall exceed that, the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom. Now, think about that for a moment. This must have been shocking for the people that were listening to the Lord Jesus. They looked at scribes, they looked at Pharisees, everybody was looking at them, and everybody thought they are such serious-minded people, they can go lost, they must have a special place in heaven. And Jesus says, scribes and the Pharisees have a righteousness that is not sufficient to enter into heaven. They need a better righteousness. That must have been shocking. They must have been searching their hearts. Being religious, being respected, coming to church, it's a good thing, absolutely, but it's not enough. Being admired maybe by others for our seriousness is not sufficient to enter in heaven. Doing good things for God is not sufficient for heaven. It won't earn you heaven. The Lord Jesus tells us you need better good works, better righteousness. There will be those, as we read together also from the passage, that knock one day on heaven's door and they say they are not allowed in. The door, the gate remains shut. Why? Well, there might be those among those people that thought, well, there's a third way. I'm doing lots of good things. But never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they knock on that heaven's door one day and they say, Lord, Lord, open to us. In thy name we have done many wonderful works. What does the Lord say? I never knew you. So what's the problem? There's no relationship with Christ. See? In order to enter into that narrow gate, you and I need a relationship, a real, living relationship, connection with heaven. Because that day he will say, I never knew you. Does the Lord know you? Do you have connection with heaven? And then he calls them workers of iniquity. Why does he do that? There was never repentance. There was never humility. There was never acknowledgement of their sins. There was never true love. There was sin. There was unbelief. There was trusting in their own works. That's workers of iniquity, filthy rags they are. You see? The Lord Jesus searches our hearts in the Sermon on the Mount. Also this morning. Who then are these workers of iniquity? Well, let's listen to the Sermon on the Mount. Do you see that man over there? He's called Mr. Angry Man, introduced in chapter 5, verse 21 and 26. Mr. Angry Man. He shouts at people. He calls others names. He never asks for forgiveness. He's too proud for that. Often people get in his way and he's frustrated by them. So either he explodes in anger or he takes it all inside. Bitterness, bruise in his heart. And so he gives people the cold shoulder, disdains them. Angry man is on the broad road, Jesus tells us. Why? Well, anger is, the Lord Jesus says, very similar to killing someone. We hope to hear more about him tonight. Who else is there? There's Mr. and Mrs. looking lustfully. They love their sexual appetites. A little look, a little desire. It's not that bad. And the Lord Jesus says, yes, it is. Looking lustfully is the same as full-fledged adultery. And Jesus says, cut off your right eye, cut off your right hand, or they will have to burn in hell. But Mr. and Mrs. looking lustfully, it's so attractive. They tell themselves, don't worry, everyone is doing it. They can't imagine life any different. And their minds are filled with these things, impure imaginations. They're related to people toward the left side. People trapped in life-dominating sexual addictions. Some even openly. Look, there's someone else walking on Broadway. Let's come a little closer. Oh, I see. It's Mrs. Liar. She's always saying something else than what she really means. Covering up things, because if people would know about this, then it wouldn't be good. So better lie about it. How can I say it in such a way that it benefits me and what I want? And the Lord Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. She's still on the broad way. Oh, I see also someone else. Have you seen that person already? He's related to Mr. Angry Man. It's Mr. Hateful. He doesn't love his neighbor. He thinks hatred is actually power and strength over people. He makes people afraid. And you need to take care of yourself, he thinks. Jesus says, now, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you. But Mr. Hateful does the opposite. That's why he's still on the Broadway. And by the way, he has more family. There's a lot of family that he has. Mrs. Gossip and Mr. Slender. They are all related, all from the same family. But perhaps you say, well, Pastor, that's okay. I don't do these things. So I'm not on the Broadway. But let's look a little bit more on the right side of that Broadway. Who do we find there? There's Mr. and Mrs. Godliness for Show. Everyone knows that these people are religious. They give their gifts to the church, and they fast, and they pray, and they tell people freely about it. And the only thing they are happy is that when people are impressed with them and think highly of them, godly about them, think they are very godly, they are not concerned about the glory of God. They want to be seen by people. And I trust this couple knows the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, don't do these things to be seen of man, because that's all you get in life. That's all the reward you get. But you know, it might feel so good when others are impressed with you. It feels good for your pride. By the way, have you ever met with Mr. Treasure on Earth? He's heaping up stuff, money, bank accounts, and you hear him mumbling himself, well, you know, you need to be smart in life. Hey, you need to be smart with your money. You never know what you will need it for. But in the meantime, he's not generous. He heaps it all for himself. He's trying to serve, he doesn't realize, but he's trying to serve God and mammon and money. And the Lord Jesus Christ says to that person, where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. And then the Lord Jesus shows that there is Mr. Anxiety and Mr. Fear, Mrs. Fearfulness. What about my clothes? What about the bills? What about what should we eat and what should we drink and how should... In the meantime, they forget. Focus on the Lord. Focus on the Lord. Seek his kingdom first, and all these things shall be added unto you. I will take care of your necessities. They are worried and fearful and focused on the things here and now. I also see Mr. Judgmental on that broad road. There's a beam hanging out of his eye, the Lord Jesus tells us. He never looks inside on his own sins. He's always busy with the sins of others around him. He's never happy. He's always complaining. He was always far from friendly. And often when he comes somewhere and when he meets people, there's this friction, this division taking place. He's also on the broad road. And then we could go on and think about more characters, but these are the characters, as it were, that the Lord Jesus shows us. There's Mr. Almost Persuaded to be a Christian. There's people that loudly call for freedom on the broad road. They mean immorality. There's people that live in open sin. There's people that live in hidden sin. There's people that are afraid that their sins would be found out, and they never ask for help. They never shoot an arrow prayer to God to deliver them. How sad! Know ye not, Paul said, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. All these people are on the broad road. Why? What do they have in common? They think they don't need God. They don't believe that God is who he says he is in his word. They don't want the one Savior, Jesus Christ. Some of them, if not all, dislike God, distrust God, hate God. Why? Because there's something more important. It's self and it's sin. These are some characters on the broad road. Maybe you say, well, but Pastor, I have sins like that in my life. Does that mean I'm on the broad road? Maybe you've recognized yourself in those sins and you're distressed. Christ is not pushing you away. He is actually wanting you to seriously examine your light in his word. And he is calling you to either enter in, or if you have been saved and you still struggle with sin, to continue to walk the road closer to him. He's also not saying, well, if you find yourself to be one of these characters and those sins are in your life, then you can't be saved. No, absolutely not. That's not what that's what the devil wants you to believe. Then the gate is shut. No, today is the day of salvation. And he's not saying, well, there's few that find this gate and therefore you can never be saved. That's not what the Lord Jesus is saying either. He's not saying because you are such a sinner, you better give up seeking salvation. No, what does he say? Leave the path of destruction. Enter into the narrow gate if you've never entered yet. Come to this difficult road of the Christian life and see that there's ultimately ends in eternal life, eternal glory. He is saying, as it were, the same as what God said in Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn, repent, turn away from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? See, that's what the Lord Jesus is doing here. He exposes our sins so that we would see the desperate need that we have to turn and to enter into that straight gate. You see, he calls us to the narrow way, to life eternal through this text. And so that brings us to a last thought here. Listen to it. Enter ye in at the straight gate. It's not like, okay, this is not important. Take it or leave it. No, this is a command. The Lord Jesus comes here with a command. You're called to do this. If you haven't yet, today is the day of salvation. Don't delay. How then? How then? Maybe someone asks. Well, Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. In other words, are you praying? Are you crying out to God? Are you asking? Are you knocking on the door? Knocking until you know the door is open and that Christ is yours? Are you seeking, searching, not giving up? How important is it for you? Because ultimately, everything that you find when you come to this gate for the first time, or when you're on this road, everything comes through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. His promises, his word. He gives you the Holy Spirit so that you desire different things, so that you desire him, so that you desire salvation, so that you choose the right thing. He is that one who can give you that righteousness that is better than that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Do you remember that? When the Lord Jesus Christ came to John the Baptist to be baptized, what happened? John said, no, I need to be baptized of thee, Lord Jesus. But no, the answer of the Lord Jesus was, I need to do this, for it becomes me to fulfill all righteousness. He had to go into the water of the Jordan to fulfill all righteousness, to identify with all those people that have been baptized there, all the sins of the people, to fulfill all righteousness. That's who Jesus is. He fulfills it all, even to the point of the cross. There he earns a righteousness, a perfection, that is better than the scribes and the Pharisees. And when you come to Jesus Christ, who says to us, I'm the door, enter in by me. I'm the gate, come to me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Enter in at the straight gate. And then when you come in, and you knock on the door, and the door is open to you through, in, and through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the gate, who is the way, who is life eternal. What do you get? You get a robe of righteousness to cover all your filthy rags, a robe of righteousness, a garment of salvation that will fill you with happiness and joy, true joy, because he covers over all your sins. And as you receive that righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, he calls you blessed, because now you are hungering and thirsting for more and more and more. Is that you? I want more righteousness. I want a holy life. I want to live for the Lord. And as he opens that door to you, yes, in a certain sense, life becomes more difficult to you, yes. Because living a holy life in the world in which we live is simply not easy. Nobody finds it easy. Because now you want to fight anger. You want to love people. You want to really love them and be patient with them. And you're sad when you fall. And the Holy Spirit is changing you. And you listen to his word and you're encouraged. Blessed are, or truly happy, joyful, are the peacemakers. For they shall be called the children of God. You want a life without impurity. You want to be sexually pure. You want to, with Job, make a covenant with your eyes that you don't look around lustfully. Because you have heard, blessed, truly blessed, really happy are those that are pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's worth it. You want your eyes upon God, upon Christ. Feast upon him. And you don't want to lie any longer. You want to speak the truth. You're humbled by your sins and you're now honest about them. And you want to speak the truth to your neighbor. And you want your yes to be yes and your no to be no, so that people know you're faithful and you can be trusted. And you also want to love your enemies. And you feel often that it is hard, perhaps. But you want to forgive. You want to serve. You want to be gracious, because you realize I myself was an enemy of God. And I want to show this grace, this amazing grace that I have received. I want to show that to other people. I want to be kind. I want to forgive. I want to love my enemies, because God has loved me with enemy love. And so you have new desires here on this road, this narrow road. God gives these new desires to you. And you want to be honest. You don't want to be a hypocrite. You don't want to be pretending and religiously so. You don't want it to do it for the smiles and the frowns of other people. No, you want the smile of God on your life, and you crave that. And therefore, you kill your pride. You fight your pride. And you count yourself dead to those sins, because you have heard, blessed, truly happy are those who are meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And yes, with money, you know the danger. The Lord Jesus says so much about it in the Gospels. So you are on guard for covetousness. And the Lord gives you a desire to be generous. And you want to store up treasures in heaven. So you give, because you have a treasure in heaven, Jesus Christ. A wonderful treasure that is worth more than anything in life. To have him is to have having all. So you live as possessing nothing. Or you learn to live that way. And you realize that those who follow Jesus will inherit the whole earth. The whole earth. It's all going to be yours in Christ Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's your inheritance. And you realize that worry and anxiety often comes from not trusting and knowing God close. You know that. And so what you'd learn, you learn to cast your cares. Lord, here are my cares. I can't carry them today. They're too heavy. Lord, help me, please help me to seek thy kingdom first. And as you go on this road, you encounter more and more of your own sins. And as you encounter more and more of your own sins, you're not going to judge harshly others and pointing fingers, because you know there's something wrong, desperately wrong here that the Lord needs to deal with first. And so you want to cover a multitude of sins because you love. And you esteem others better than yourself because you love. Do you see now why this road is a narrow road? It's a difficult road. Because there's all these wicked desires by nature that stir up in our hearts that need to be killed, that the Lord needs to deal with, because you realize that without holiness, no one will see God. And he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So, dear congregation, have you entered? Are the desires that we've just heard from the Sermon of the Mount, those new desires, are they beginning to sprout in your heart? Are they becoming more and more your desires? Even when you feel so falling short. And if you have sinned, if you say, well, this is sin is in my life and that sin is in my life, Lord, have mercy. Is that what you say? Lord, have mercy. Look upon me in Jesus Christ. And it drives you, your sin drives you where? Not to despair. No, it drives you to the cross of Jesus Christ. And you see there's a righteousness earned that is greater than my sins, that can cleanse me all the way deep down into the recesses of my heart, that can cleanse me within in my desires all the way deep down. So do sins that you find in your heart, do they bring you to Christ in repentance? Christ who is life, Christ who is the final destination, Christ who is the door, Christ who is the way, Christ who is everything. If you can say honestly, not perfectly, but honestly before the Lord this morning, yes, that's my desire, Lord, then you are truly happy. You are truly happy, blessed. The Lord Jesus calls you that, because you're walking on the narrow road. But if you have not entered, and you're still on that broad road, I urge you in the name of my Savior and Sender, ask, seek, knock today. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. It might be difficult to enter. It might be difficult to go on the road, but it's worth it. The sufferings of this present age is not compared to what one day you will taste in glory. It will make up for it. Harden not your heart, my friend. The Good Shepherd invites you, calls you by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. Do you hear that? He shall be saved. If any man, whoever you are, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. That means life, real care, real satisfaction, real relationship with God. If any man by me enter in, whoever you are, you have a wonderful future. You have a wonderful destination. You will one day be with Christ forever. So enter. There's only two ways. And the narrow, though difficult at times, it's still the best, because it leads you to Christ.